A few months ago, the primate of the Armenians in Australia and New Zealand visited an Aboriginal tribe with a special mission, where he placed an Armenian hachkar, a stone cross. As I have had a chance to interview the Archbishop about his visit in Armenian, I would like to ask him now a few questions in English, so that our listeners, our listeners who don't speak Armenian, will have a chance to learn about this particular visit. Your Grace. Your Grace, how did this special trip come about, you think?
This trip was not an excursion, a vacation, even a strictly a religious one, rather a pilgrimage to the unknown. That's how I would describe it. I did not know what to expect. The only common thing I could share with the people, it was the suffering, loss of land, a culture, tradition and identity. The unknown sometimes deter people from one another and sometimes attracts and brings them together. I guess mine was the second feeling. This visit took place in October 14 to 16, 2016. Myself, as Bishop Paigaz, Nigerian primate of the Armenian Church of Australia and New Zealand, accompanied by Diocesan Chancellor Deacon Nishan Basmajian. We took the easiest way. First, we flew from Sydney to Darwin and then drove for 10 hours one way, some 900 miles through jungle and semi-barren lands, the last 200 miles with no cellular connection, no gas station, and not even the last 100 years without even it was a dirt road. So luckily enough, it didn't rain as well. It would have been a real trouble to get through. All this effort to meet the Walpiri people of Lajamanu. It took Judith Crispin, Catholic University, Canberra, almost 2 years to convince me to find time to make this long trip. The catch was our suffering because of the genocide to our people and the suffering of the Aboriginal people. It was through her involvement that a special permit was obtained from Jerry Jangala, the leader of Walpiri people, to achieve this trip. Though we stayed only 2 nights and I did not have much time to intermingle with people's everyday life, it is possible to make some observation. Lajamanu is a small town or a village with about 700 people located 900 miles south of Darwin. They use both English and Walpiri languages. It is governed by local tribal council. The weather is hot and humid. Originally, these people were hunters and led a nomadic life. Now they are settled, though I did not notice herding of animals or cultivation of land. The houses given to them seems neat from outside, but they spend even nights outdoors. They have no air condition, and I'm not sure if they want it or are accustomed to it. The only room which had air conditioning was the school director's room, which was given to us. There is water, even hot water, electricity, television, internet, and cellular, and even solar energy. I noticed some 30 cars in the town, even food store and a gas station. The last two were run by white people. Drinks are strictly forbidden to bring into this village. There were lots of children and elderly, not many young men active, though women were more active in painting and in the church. My assumption is that young adults are attracted to big cities where they pick up bad habits and destroy their lives. I was told that life expectancy was about 50, though there were some elderly who could have been over 65. Their income partly comes from the government, partly from the mine owners who took their properties, and partly through the paintings of traditional Aboriginal themes sold to tourists and abroad. At the end of their church service, we presented the church and the leader of Walpiri people with an Armenian traditional cross stone, a khachkar, as a symbol of brotherly love and respect between our two people. On the last day of our trip, myself, on behalf of the Armenian people, and Jerry Jangala, on behalf of the Walpiri, signed a document through which we acknowledge the suffering and killings of the Aboriginal people, and they acknowledge the suffering through our genocide. Though the elderly try to keep their tradition and customs alive, like the Milpiri festival, where we observe through the traditional dances themes of their ancestral ways, the Bible translated into the Walpiri language is still read during the church services. However, with all these 21st century innovations, one wonders how far the new generation will stay in this remote village and how far they will be able to preserve their ancestral ways. As I was leaving the town, there was some sadness in my heart. Some years ago, I had visited Van in historic Armenia, now Turkey. I saw there the door, which originally is an Urartian artwork on the rock, which, according to the Armenian tradition, was the door through which the last prince of Sasun, the little Meher, entered and vowed not to come out from it until there was justice in the land. Genocide of the Armenian, Holocaust of the Jews, mass killings of the Cambodian, Rwandan genocide of Tutsis, Yazidis killed in Iraq, when all this will end? When we will learn to see in the other person a brother or sister, when we will tolerate otherness, other culture, religion, way of living or way of expressing. While in today's world of globalization, where all cultures, religions, way of living, all is being mixed, concocted into what seems to be one way of robotic life, we forget the uniqueness of the individual, the special way in which each nation or tribe contributes to the history, civilization, and well-being of mankind. The loss of the Red Indians in North America, the loss of natives in Amazon, or the loss of Aborigines in Australia is the loss of humanity in general. I would like to dream that one day there will be enough justice in this world to allow little Meher to come out of his seclusion so that mankind can live in peace, in harmony, and in love.